Welcome to Recovery Stories Yukon. The purpose of this podcast is to break stigmas, bring hope, and show that recovery is possible within our communities. Sarah is here today to share her story. She lives in Whitehorse, is 35 years old, and her sober date is May 27th, 2023. Welcome, Sarah. Where would you like to start with your story?
Yeah, so COVID was something that actually really got to me. I mean, before that, there were definitely times where I was over drinking, but it actually happened to be during COVID where, you know, everyone was working from home and the liquor store was still open. So I ended up spending more money on alcohol than groceries for myself. I had just moved to Whitehorse at the end of January 2020. So I had just gone through, I had left a abusive relationship with a man that I was with on the island, and I had just been laid off from work. And so I ended up getting a job start contract through the WorkBC offices. And so I packed up my life and thought, hey, I'll move closer to dad, and haven't looked back. It's been almost 4 years since I've been here. So like I said, I was in an abusive relationship. It wasn't until towards the end that he started to get physical, but it was a very controlling, emotional, and mentally abusive up until the end. And I was drinking to just kind of cope with the situation that I was in. But I mean, I was still able to put it down. Like during COVID, it was turning into I had to drink a beer just in order to get out of bed to make my coffee in the morning. I was able to get up in the mornings while I was on the island and not do that. So
were you working from home at that time?
Yeah, I was working from home at the time. Yeah, I had I was working for the Yukon Contractors Association at the time. So yeah. And then so once everything opened up again, and this is the thing, is I've always been a server as well. I've always kept a part-time serving job, which at this point in time in my life, I know I can no longer work in that industry. I mean, I don't know. I'm on naltrexone now, and that's helped curb my cravings completely. Actually, focus on the recovery side and do the self work and go through the counseling and everything like that. And that's been my absolute godsend at this point in time, is being on the naltrexone. So
can you explain what that is to the listeners?
Yeah, for sure. So it's a, what is it, 50 milligram tablet, and I take it once a day. And it's originally, it was made as an opioid inhibitor. But they found that it could also help curb alcohol cravings. And so I fought it and I fought it and I fought it, because I started my sober journey in 2022. And it wasn't until May 2023 when I finally was like, okay, well, fine, I'll try it and see if it actually works, because it was up and down for that first year. I started taking it. Like I said, May 27th, 2023, I haven't had a drink since then. So that means next Saturday is my 8 month. Basically what it does too, is it blocks the effects of alcohol with the brain. So even if I were to take a drink today, it wouldn't have the same level of effect on me at this point in time. Yeah, I mean, I like to say it, like I was a pretty happy drunk as long as I was with people, but it was what I was doing behind closed doors that was actually terrifying. When I look back at it and I look back at that person and how far I've come, like I remember thinking to myself, my grandpa had passed away in February 2022. And I was sitting at a friend's place in New Westminster, because I was actually raised in Surrey, BC, but I was at a friend's place in New Westminster. She lives on the 7th floor of a building. And I was thinking, well, how could I easily throw myself off her balcony that it would actually just complete the job. That's where the downward spiral got me to, is like I was contemplating just, not being here anymore. And then after that trip, I came home. I started having those thoughts again, and I actually called 911 on myself. So I called, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and they came and picked me up, and I self-surrendered. And this was at Whitehorse General. They wanted me to go into detox, but I was in a situation where I had basically screwed up my living situation. I had to move over the weekend. And luckily, I had already been working with a counselor through the mental health and substance use building in Whitehorse here, the Sarah Steele building. And so I reached out to her, and they actually had a inpatient treatment happening starting Valentine's Day of 2022. And so I decided, you know what? I'm gonna go and do this 5 weeks of inpatient treatment. I clearly need a kick in the backside just to get myself out of this hole that I am in. So I self-detoxed at home for a weekend and moved, and then basically got the phone call on Valentine's Day being like, can you make it here for 3:30? And then I was there until March 18th of 2022. I did that 5 weeks of treatment, and I will say we are so lucky. We're actually quite lucky up here to have that initial stepping stone through our mental wellness and substance use services, because that started the groundwork. And even though it was a rocky first year of lapsing and then trying to get myself better, going to detox, I ended up doing 2 more weeks of treatment in December of 2022. I would have to say that up here, if you have started work with a counselor through our mental wellness services, they advocate for their clients so hard and push to make sure that you can get the right support. And then once you're in there, they can help with potentially looking at other treatment options and the funding for them if people do want to go down south. Like, there's a lot of supports there. And then there's alumni programs as well through them, where you can go and meet with other people that have been through the treatment programs that are offered up here. So,
How did you find the inpatient treatment program in Whitehorse?
it was, like I said, it was fantastic as a beginning step. I contemplated doing trauma treatment last year, looking at potentially doing Ravenswood or Cedars or something down south. But with the help of taking the naltrexone, I've actually been able to work through all of that kind of stuff up here, because my brain wasn't obsessing about the alcohol continuously while trying to work on myself at the same time. But I mean, it's basic, and there's a lot of people that struggle up here. I mean, we see it super concentrated downtown Whitehorse, but it is a great first step. And I mean, honestly, I'm a stepmom of five.
Were you the stepmom to the five kids when you went to that program?
No, I was not. I met Richard afterwards. I mean, this was during a good point. One thing I will say is that I probably rushed into a relationship. But luckily enough, he's become one of my greatest supports up here. And now we've got a family, and we've got number six on the way. And so it's people do think we're insane. I understand that.
After you got out of the inpatient treatment program, what was it like your first little bit?
I kind of took it really easy on myself. I didn't want to do anything super intense. And then I ended up getting a job serving, which was unfortunate. So that's where my first lapse came from. I'm grateful because the owner of that restaurant, she's also been a massive support for me as well. And then, I managed to grab a couple of months here and there. But I was kind of the chronic 60 to 75 days. And then I'd just kind of flick a switch and I'd be like, all right, let's go have a drink, right? Like, it was just a continuous up and down like that, very out of hand. And so I told Richard that I was going to put myself in treatment for 2 weeks before Christmas of 2022. So he was fully supporting of that, and I did that. And then again, I lasted, I think, about 85 days when I got out. I feel like now, if I understood how much naltrexone would have helped me, I probably would have taken it sooner, but it was kind of, I was partially involved in AA as well. And I think that that's a struggle sometimes because people are afraid to admit that they're, medically assisted, right? So I have been diagnosed with OCD and I can see it now. I'm like, yeah, I would obsess. I obsess about numbers, right? So I'd be there sitting continuously counting my cans or my bottles or whatever, just to see if I had enough to keep drinking. But now, like, being properly medicated and properly diagnosed, still with the right supports in, occasionally I do still go to meetings when I can because I do like the sober community. I like seeing those people and saying hi and talking to them. And but I'm not a 12-stepper. There's a woman in Alaska who started this Facebook page called Brave Sober Moms. And now I'm one of the admins for that page as well. And I mean, I also get a ton of support from there as well. It's now trying to find a way to let your light shine once you do find the joy in your life again.
Sarah, did you find that drinking was problematic for you right from your first drink?
No. And I will never, ever, ever. Well, I mean, now obviously, but I drank 2 liters of peach grower's cider when I was 16 years old. And about a liter of raspberry. And I puked my guts out and I fell down cement stairs. And then I don't think I drank again for a very long time after that. And then, yeah, it wasn't like, I mean, I'd definitely grown up in a family that enjoyed their beverages. I grew up watching my mom put back one or two bottles of wine a night and stuff. And I enjoyed drinking, but it wasn't an issue until my late 20s, early 30s. Yeah, like I traveled, I lived in England for 3.5 years in my early 20s, and the binge drinking culture over there is definitely a problem. So I could definitely see that I was a weekend binger in my early 20s. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely wasn't it every day from sun up to sundown sort of drinker from the get-go.
When you started to see that you were having issues with drinking, were you trying to put rules in place? And how did that go?
I was making excuses. Oh, if I just have one, it's fine right now. Oh well, That Zoom meeting got canceled this morning. Okay, well, I guess I can sit there and have a glass of wine and watch an episode of Grey's Anatomy, right? Like, it wasn't rules so much as it was giving myself the reason to. I worked for quite a large Yukon-based company, and unfortunately, I ended up losing my job from there. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't see where the problem was there because I still had a part-time serving job. That was an interesting year. I had lots of fun. I remember having lots of fun. But that was kind of 2021. It really got away from me. You know, there was probably the addition of the occasional bit of cocaine in there as well, you know, because being a drinker, I'm like, this, it was beautiful. And it was cheaper because I managed to drink at work after work, where I would have a cheaper bill because I got an employee discount.
Can you describe a day in your life when you were in the worst part of your active addiction, and then a day in your life now?
I just remember the day that my grandpa died, and I remember waking up in the morning and I went out and I got a bottle of Jack Daniels in a six pack, and I basically sat in my room by myself and drank the entire day away and smoked in my room. And that's what ended up getting me kicked out of that place and the reason why I had to move and self-detox. That ended up being probably the straw that broke the camel's back, was that entire kind of couple of weeks before I went into treatment there was a pretty rough time. Now it's a completely different world. Like, I actually get sleep at night. I wake up every morning at 5. Whereas, you know, I used to feel sluggish in the morning. It's like now I can actually get up and function. Focus with a clear head. You know, I still use humor as a coping mechanism. I've gone through my fair share of trauma, but instead of, you know, feeling that self-pity continuously, I know how to deal with my emotions and process them and get up and feel happy and go to my job. And then, you know, I crack jokes all the time about, you know, the fact that nobody wants to meet drunk Sarah anymore. I don't even want to know drunk Sarah anymore because my quality of life has just blossomed now.
What would you say your biggest triggers are right now?
I wouldn't have any right now. That's been the blessing of naltrexone. I deal with overwhelm, clearly, 5 children. All screaming at the same time. I deal with overwhelm, and I yell, but I don't have those urges to reach out and grab anymore. It got to the point, like in some of my lapses, where it would just be like second nature. Like I wouldn't even be processing what I was doing until I was holding the bottle to my lips. I couldn't even tell you what my triggers were then. Whether it was, you know, a moment of self-pity or whatever, I'm more afraid now of losing my inhibitions, right? Like I like the fact that now I have control over my body and my mind. But then when it started to just get to that point where, like I said, I wasn't noticing like the triggers or whatever. I was literally, the bottle would be at my lips. It fell right back into the, I need to make sure that I have some tomorrow morning or else I'm not going to be able to function. When I got to that point and like gave up and was like, okay, like let's give this naltrexone a go. It was scary. Like the fact that I needed to have it and I was hiding it. obviously. Like, I didn't want anyone to find it. But I mean, clearly I'm passed out in bed smelling like a brewery. Like, so I mean, I wasn't really hiding it from anyone, but it was, you know, it's scary how easy it is now to slip back into the full on sun up to sundown drinking.
So when you relapsed, did you find that you were immediately back to the level that you were at before?
It wasn't until kind of my last one, which happened in March of last year. That was the one that broke me and convinced me that I needed to try something else. Whatever I was trying to do was not working at that point in time.
Do you have any books or podcasts or anything that helps you that you'd like to share with listeners?
One of the ones that I absolutely love is Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. Also, there's a mass community of people who recover out loud on TikTok. So for anyone that is still on the TikTok binge from COVID, that's definitely worth a look into. Any moms out there that are looking for a bigger support group, then there's Brave Sober Moms. We're always happy to have new members join us.
And last question, what are you most grateful for in your sobriety?
The people that I have around me now actually built a lot more solid relationships. I'm a real version of myself. I'm not a shell of a human anymore. So I've managed to create quite a solid support group.
That's great, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story.
For sure.
Thank you for listening. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, you can get help by calling the Yukon Government Mental Wellness and Substance Use Services at 1-866-456-3838 or by reaching out to Theki Anate Fly Like an Eagle program at 867-333-2497. If you would like to share your story on this podcast, please email recoverystoriesyukon@gmail.com.